the most humble pranams at thy lotus feet. On behalf of all Chinese devotees, we wish you and everyone Happy Chinese New Year. This year is the year of the monkey, and our brothers and sisters from Indonesia, Thailand, Singapore, Hong Kong, Australia, Taiwan and Malaysia have gathered in Prashanti to celebrate it with you, dear Lord, and everyone present. The monkey symbolizes power, intelligence and vitality. So, with Swami's blessings, we pray that the year of the monkey will bring us peace, happiness, good health and prosperity. Brothers and sisters, please note that our celebration will last for 2 days, that is, today and tomorrow.
虔诚地降服在 Bhagavan Baba 的莲花足下，亲爱的 Bhagavan， 在此我谨代表全球华人向您说一声新年快乐，吉祥如意。今年从印尼、泰国、新加坡、香港、台湾和马来西亚的信徒齐聚白善地。 将以今天和明天，以您一起庆祝农历新年。今年是猴年，猴象征灵活、动力和智慧。我们祈祷在Bhagavan爸爸的加持下，猴年将是无灾无难、国泰民安、风调雨顺、和平富足的。
Dear Bhagavan, brothers and sisters, it is the tradition of the Chinese to make offerings of thanksgiving to the gods on New Year's Day and to pray for a bountiful year ahead.
亲爱的巴嘎万，赛兄弟姐妹们，接下来的节目是上供仪式，向敬爱的神明供奉新年祭品，是信徒表达感恩之情和祈求来年丰盛吉祥、心想事成。
南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无。
We shall have the chanting of Buddhist mantras by devotees from Medan, Indonesia.
接下来是由来自印度尼西亚棉兰的信徒诵赞佛经。
清净大海中菩萨 萨，那么大愿地藏王菩萨，那么普法维陀尊天菩萨，那么普法诸天菩萨，那么伽蓝孙中菩萨。
最
Welcome address by Brother Billy Fong, the Central Coordinator for Zone 41, covering Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, Brunei, and Indonesia. This is also the 10th year that he has been the coordinator for our Chinese New Year celebrations.
现在，让我们欢迎第四期国家及马来西亚、新加坡、菲律宾、文莱和印尼的总协调，也是第十年的华人新年庆典的总协调 Billy Fong 赛兄致欢迎词。
Om Sai Ram. Beloved Swami, respected elders, brothers and sisters, a very warm welcome to each and every one of you to this Chinese New Year celebration in Prashanti Nilayam. First and foremost, on behalf of all of you, I'd like to express our sincere and heartfelt thanks and deep gratitude to Bhagawan Baba for his grace and blessings that we are able to celebrate Chinese New Year in Sai Kuan Hall, the most sacred place in the entire universe. As Sister has mentioned, this year is our 10th year of celebrating Chinese New Year in Prashanti since we restarted the Chinese New Year celebration in the year 2007. And this year, we have close to some 350 participants coming from Australia, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Thailand, Indonesia, Singapore, and Malaysia. Brothers and sisters, it is our Chinese tradition that come Chinese New Year, we will put up couplets of auspicious saying, sacred saying in our house to remind us of the ideals that we must lead in life, as well as that we must always think positively and think of abundance. And this year, Swami has selected a very special couplet for all of us here. If you look at the backdrop at the back, there's these two couplets. On my right, it reads as follows. 此生不向今生度，更待何生度此生。It means, if we do not make an effort to transcend our mortal body and be liberated in this life, in which life can we achieve this? Brothers and sisters, these couplets, this Chinese saying of our ancient forefathers resonates with the teachings of our beloved Bhagawan. Bhagawan has always reminded us that the purpose, the whole purpose of birth is that we attain liberation and that we were never born again. And may I quote Swami, one should be born in such a way that he becomes immortal and is never born again. One who is after finding the path to arrive at such a truth is indeed a wise person. Unquote. Sharma Showers in Brindavan, 1993. Brothers and sisters, according to the Chinese, to be born as a human being is like a blind turtle that lives at the deep ocean bed. Once in 100 years, this blind turtle will swim up to the surface of the ocean to breathe air. And at that moment, a piece of wood with a hole about this diameter is being thrown onto the surface of the ocean. And this piece of wood is being tossed left and right, here and there by the wind. What are the chances of the blind turtle as he surveys at just the right time, in the right place, to be able to put his head through the hole in the piece of wood? Brothers and sisters, this is how difficult it is to be born as a human being, and especially in an environment conducive for our spiritual attainment. We have traveled thousands of births and accumulated great merits in order for us to be able to receive the highest spiritual teachings from none other than the Puna Avatar of beloved Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. This physical body of ours is indeed a great blessing of God. If we do not heed the teachings from Bhagavan and strive for liberation, we have wasted this life. Brothers and sisters, how then do we transcend our mortal body and achieve liberation? Swami had revealed that in chapter 26 of the Gita Vahini with Swami personally penned. In fact, we have put together chapter 26 of Gita Vahini in two languages, English and translated into Mandarin by Brother Edward Chow from Taiwan, in this booklet, which many of you would have received when you registered for the Chinese New Year celebration. Brothers, according to Swami, to be able to transcend our mortal body and to be liberated in life, there are what he calls sadhanas or spiritual discipline which we must undertake in life. And in this chapter, chapter 96, Swami has outlined three important tapas. Our physical body, our mind, as well as our speech. On the spiritual discipline or the physical body, Swami has said that this physical body of ours must be used, its strength and capability, to help others, to be of service to others, and for singing and worship of the Lord, for visiting places hallowed by His name, and for regulated breath exercise. And we must keep our senses away from harmful path and to always tread the path of God. Selfless service to the poor and the needy, and observation of moral codes and beneficial acts are most important. Swami has said that on the discipline, spiritual discipline of our mind, we must always keep our mind free from anxiety and worry, free from greed and hatred, free from pride, okay? And the mind must always dwell on God, and he has to be restrained from pursuing objective pleasures. And on the spiritual discipline of our speeches, Swami has said that we must always speak less. And our speech must always be saturated with love for all. We must desist from false statements. We must not talk ill of others and engage in scandal mongering, and never speak harshly, and we must always speak softly and sweetly. And Swami said that of these three spiritual disciplines, if one is missed out, you cannot achieve liberation. And Swami has said that if you miss out one of these disciplines, the atmic effulgence in us cannot radiate light. And Swami has compared these three disciplines to the lamb. Swami has said that the lamb can be compared to our physical body. The oil in the lamb can be compared to our mind. And the wick in the lamb can be compared to our tongue. And Swami has said that in order for us to be successful in these three disciplines, there's a very basic discipline that all of us must undertake. That is the discipline of the intake of food. And Swami has said that we must take only sattvic vegetarian food. Swami has said that the type of food intake decides on the level of our attainment, whether high or low. And we must note that the purity of the source, the preparation, as well as the serving of the food is very important. Swami has said that our body is very intimately related to the mind. And the strength of our mind depends on the strength of our body. Swami said, good moral conduct, good habits and spiritual efforts all depends on the quality of food. Diseases, mental weakness and spiritual slackness are all due to faulty food. Indeed, Swami has said that, has, you know, if we want to be his devotee, we must avoid the four vices. Avoid drinking, avoid smoking, avoid gambling, and avoid meat eating. And food does not refer to the physical food that we eat. It also refers to the things that we receive through our eyes. We must always look at good things. We must always look at noble things. And we must always listen to good things. Swami has said that whenever we come to Prashanti Nilayam, we must leave behind some or at least one negative qualities. And we must take back some or at least one of his teachings and practice it wholeheartedly. Brothers and sisters, as much as we are proud to put on the badge of Satya Sai Baba on us, we must be also proud to tell people, yes, Bhagawan Baba teaches this, and we are trying our best to follow this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, for the next few days, as we are here, let us reflect on the message of Bhagawan Baba as given in chapter 26 of the Gita Vahini. And with these words, may I wish all of you, 新年快乐,万事如意,心想事成. And on behalf of all of us, may I pray to Bhagawan to shower his divine grace on all of us. Bless us with wisdom, bless us with an understanding heart. Samasta Loga Sukhino Bhagavantu. Jai Sai Ram.
And now, brothers and sisters, the next item will be a Sai Harmonica musical performance by Malaysian devotees.
接下来的节目是赛口琴队音乐合奏，由马来西亚的信徒 为大家呈现。
Brothers and sisters, we have with us today a Sai brother from Australia, Brother Alvin Leo. Brother Alvin was once the Zone 3 Youth Coordinator and Center President. He is now the Zone 3 Media Coordinator and a committee member of the Satya Sai International Youth Leadership Program.
现在我们邀请来自澳洲的 Alvin 六赛兄为我们讲演。Alvin 赛兄曾经是第四期国家的青年组织的协调和赛中心的 主席，如今他是国际萨迪赛青年组织的领袖。
Without further ado, we now invite Brother Alvin Liu to deliver his speech.
Alvin 赛兄请。
Beloved Swami, thank you for being with us today. This is yours, all yours and only yours. May we, dear Swami, become more and more like you with each passing day. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, and even my dear children, Om Sai Ram. Showcasing the value of integrity in this year's Chinese New Year celebrations tells me that the call to action for a peaceful and meaningful world is coming increasingly urgent. Swami has demonstrated to us a life lived in righteousness is one that brings about peace and fulfillment. Like you, I, and many others around the world look to Swami for wisdom and guidance. And so, it is humbling for me today to share with you a little of what I understand his teachings to be. I was raised in Singapore and now serve in Australia. It has been almost 15 years since I've called Australia home. And in this time, I have come to appreciate how first generation migrants, like my own grandparents when they came to Singapore many, many years ago, how they toiled and integrated into their new homeland. I also understand why and how their heart beats for both the motherland and hinterland. In a journey that has come almost full circle, I now realize why the Chinese saying, Yin Shui Si Yuan, when drinking water, remember the source from which it has come from, resonated so well in me since I've been a little boy, when my father and mother first told me about it. It is a saying that has steadied the course of the ship of my life, as my wife and I now watch our children grow up as second generation Australians and Sai devotees. And so in the short time we have together this afternoon, I would like to invite you to come along and share my journey of finding my faith and cultural roots. In over 5,000 years of Chinese history, the Chinese have sunk roots far and wide in this world. Name a country, it is most likely a Chinese person would have lived there or set foot upon it. The Grand Mariner, Admiral Cheng Ho, visited Australia and Singapore long, long before the British did. Growing up in Singapore, the Chinese race was the majority representation in the population. But this statistic was quickly turned on its head when I came to Australia. And when I found myself far away from my cultural roots, I remembered Swami telling us to never forget our cultural heritage. In fact, there's this story I remember him telling of a boy who returns to India from America, having forgotten himself. And when he greeted the goddess Gayatri as, "How do you do, madam?" his mother was shocked and astonished. I started to relearn the Chinese language, something I was not too keen on growing up because it was compulsory studies. But in relearning the language, it opened gateways to understanding the richness of the Chinese heritage. And I began to find my place in this world because I knew my cultural identity. Dear brothers and sisters, our destinies may take us to many places in this increasingly small global village of ours. But heed the wisdom of our forefathers and our beloved Swami to never forget your cultural identity. Be proud that you're an Indian, Chinese, African, Italian, Spanish, whichever your cultural roots may be. It is a link to your spiritual identity. And when you fuse your cultural identity with your spiritual identity, in the context of the place that you're living in, which I shall call your social identity, magic happens. Let me share with you what I mean. In the Sai fraternity, we are most accustomed with greeting each other. Yes, Sai Ram. But it has been difficult for us trying to use Sai Ram in the greater community, especially a Western one. And that caused our Sai youth thinking and finding a solution for a long time. And one day, when I was here in Prashanti, I had a chance to speak with Swami. And I said, "Swami, the youth from back home in Western Australia asked me to say hi to you." And Swami asked, "Hi, what is hi?" And I replied, "Well, Swami, hi is an informal way of saying hello, and we do it with lots of love for you, Swami." And Swami asked again, "What is hi?" And again, I replied, gave him the same reply. For the third time, Swami went, "What is hi?" I kind of sensed there was a valuable teaching coming up. And so I fell into prayerful silence looking at him. At that moment, he said, "Hi, H-I, he and I, so hum, there is no difference between God and yourself." Swami's words was like a flash of light in the dark sky. The light bulb moment, the aha moment. And because of that, now we go around gleefully, happily, joyfully greeting one and all, "Hi!" Because we know the full blessings and meaning of Sai Ram is well conveyed to one and all we come up with. The miracles of Swami. During a Chinese New Year discourse, Swami explained the word, the meaning of China, 中国, using the Chinese words. 中国 means middle kingdom. And today I would like to focus on the word kingdom, 国. When you write kingdom in the Chinese script, it's a box with a piece of jade in it, and you seal the box. Jade is perhaps the most precious stone to the Chinese. It signifies nobility, authority, and is believed to ward off evil spirits. A few days from now, the Chinese devotees who are gathered here will be conducting a ceremonial worship to the heavenly emperor, and who is the king of the Chinese pantheon of gods. And the title given to that emperor is the Jade Emperor. And the jade is equally adorned by both males and females. So I suppose you could say jade is a treasure, and you have this treasure locked in a box. What does this mean? Do you remember cartoons where you have a seeker scaling up a mountain to find a wise sage above? And when he sees the wise sage, he asks, "Oh wise one, where is the precious treasure of life?" Our obsession with looking for treasures has spurned many successful stories and films out of it, of treasure hunters who seek out lost treasures and ancient relics. In fact, an angel once asked God where he had chosen to hide the most precious treasure known to man. And God replied, "Not in the highest mountain, nor in the deepest ocean, for man is clever enough to know where to find it. I have hidden it within him in his heart, for he has no clue whatsoever where it is." Such divine comedy, brothers and sisters. So you see, the Chinese had long ago figured out that the treasure is within, the kingdom is within, and within lies our true self. In order to find our true self, we need to have faith in God or the inner voice. Let me share with you an experience from my time in the Philippines during the aftermath of the Typhoon Haiyan in Tacloban. The Satyasai organization, international organization, had come in for the disaster relief in what was known as the strongest typhoon recorded in history at that point of time. One of the projects we were looking at was rebuilding a small school known as the St. Lizardo School. It's a primary school at the end of the paddy fields in the countryside. While I was there, we were charged with helping purchase school teaching resources. So we started with the kindergarten class. The kindergarten teacher gave us the list of resources to purchase, and off we went. Now, we were happily picking up all the goods and items that was required by the teachers, and we noticed one item on the list was wooden teaching blocks. Little blocks, you had A, B, C on it, and you had colours on it, and shapes and all, for kindergarten children to interact, wooden puzzles. That was probably the single most expensive item on the list, but it was numerous that we required as well. So never mind, we picked out the numbers needed by the teacher. As we were about to pay up, the last item on the list was a Lego set. And we chose what was perhaps a set that gave us the best value for the class. And off we went to the cashier. While we are standing at the cashier, we noticed one thing. We had forgotten to count how much cash was in our pocket that day, which meant we had no clue of the budget, and we had no clue if we had enough money to pay for it once the goods were transacted. So both of us looked at each other, quietly chanted under our breath, "Sairam, Sairam, Sairam," and asked for Swami to come be with us. And so it came to the cashier, and I placed the Lego box just out of sight of the cashier, in case there was not enough money to pay, that was expensive. And so beep, 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 item by item went past the cash register, until we came to the wooden puzzle blocks. The cashier looked puzzled at the puzzle blocks and went to call her supervisor. The supervisor came with her. Both of them were scanning, staring at the blocks, pressed a few buttons on the cash register, shrugged their shoulders at each other, and the supervisor left. Now, this poor cashier who was left dealing with us alone timidly leaned over the counter and spoke to us in the most apologetic tone. "Sir, I'm so sorry. We don't understand why these puzzle blocks are scanning such a big discount." And then came the golden question. "Are you happy to pay the lower price?" "Yes, of course." And straight away we paid for it, and I fished out the Lego blocks, confidently putting on the table, and that went through. The total amount of purchases that night was $1,460. Moment of truth. We had to fish out the money out of the pocket. We were afraid to fish the money out of the pocket because there were security guards armed with guns around us, and probably that was a bit of a clue to us on the safety of the situation. So now, we were confident, we fished out the money, and we counted the bills. We had $1,500 in our pocket. What will you say of the $40 that was left over? It was enough for our bus fare home back to the Sai house that night. So you see, what did we learn from this episode? That faith is needed for us to believe that in the name of good, God is there. So listen to the voice, listen to your inner voice, for it will always guide you and guide you. The orange is the most important item during the Chinese New Year. Its roundness signifies unity. Its golden color signifies prosperity. And the sweetness of the flesh of the orange signifies the sweetness of spiritual life. The orange skin, however, is hard, tough, a little bitter, not good to chew at all, from my own experience. And so while we are peeling the layers of the orange skin to reach the inner flesh, we are reminded of what Swami tells us of the three P's in life. Patience, purity, and perseverance. The episode I just shared with you from the Philippines taught us that in order for us to listen and then obey the inner voice, required all the three P's of patience, purity, and perseverance. And so, in 2007, during the World Youth Conference, Swami said that he was pleased of the youth, of the sadhana the youth had undertaken on the way to the conference. The same thing is going to happen again this coming July, when the youth from all over the world, including India, will gather right here with us in Prashanti. The Chinese devotees who have come for these New Year celebrations have undertaken sadhana here as well. Sadhana. And Brother Billy Fong just spoke about and quoted from the Gita Vahini about sadhana as well. Sadhana, spiritual discipline, spiritual practice, call it whatever you wish. It is important for us to control the mind and also to amplify the will of the inner voice. So, how can sadhana help us lead a better life? In many ways. I'm looking at the yellow prayer banners that are above you, and that talks about the Heart Sutra that was given by the Goddess of Mercy, Kuan Yin. It talks about the futility of material life. It talks about the oneness in all. And therefore, it gives me a clue to the theme of today's celebration, integrity. It teaches us that integrity needs to be brought to the surface in the current world situation. Because brothers and sisters, look around you. Just look around you. Ethical conduct seems to be generally on the decline. Sports, governments, businesses, even charities. Who can we trust? In the discourse on ethics, Swami asked us if we can imagine living a life where we had to bribe our way through every single activity, every single part of the day. Tell me, can you imagine living a life like that? If not, now is the time to make yourself as an example to change the world. Do not be afraid if troubles abound you. For 66 years ago, in the year 1950, right here where we are seated, Prashanti Nilayam was being built. And Swami witnessed the hardships the people were undergoing through to accomplish this project in such a remote location. And so he called them together to assure them with these words. Have deep and profound faith in yourself. Cultivate the belief that the task ahead would be done not by your body or ego self, but by the power of God latent within you. If you develop that faith in sufficient intensity and apply yourself with selflessness, love, and deep fervor, then the impossible can and would happen. And look at Prashanti that's around us today. His words had indeed come true to those people. Don't you agree? With Swami's Mahasamadhi, we now share a common history with the apostles and the first Buddhist Sangha. Like them, their master has entrusted the immediate future in their hands. And the future is in our hands as well. Swami's life has given hope and courage to millions. Now it is up to us to continue this great vehicle of love that he has set in motion. Let us come together, brothers and sisters. Let us come together to write this special chapter in the history of humanity, of one where the world woke up laughing because it realized its true spiritual identity. For it is you and you, and even those who are listening at home, each and every one of you are his legacy. And it is through you that his love will manifest forever and ever. On this Chinese New Year and the start of a new spring, I wish you 吉祥如意, 欢笑满堂. May your life be prosperous and may laughter and joy fill it throughout. Have a happy life, a healthy life, a holy life. Jai Sai Ram.
Dear brothers and sisters, we shall now have a medley of Chinese New Year songs before the bhajans begin.
各位善兄弟姐妹，在八阵开始之前，请大家一起欢唱喜气洋洋的新年歌曲。
Hey! Om Sri Sai Ram, Sai Baba Tera Nam. Sai Baba Dheranam.
Sing the glory song of Sai.
Om Sri Sai Ram.
Lead us your heart and your mind.
Om Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
Sai Baba Dheranam.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Baba, Om Sai Ram, 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 Sai Ram
真理尽收藏，
孤独众生在下方，正法真理尽收藏。
赛世尊八个万，赛世尊八个万，
赛世尊八个万，赛世尊八个万，
追求真善美我心愿。曾经修炼，
皈依佛法曾经修炼，
秉持心往爱起因缘，
秉持心往爱起因缘，
在彼人生目的就可实现，
在彼人生目的就可实现，
在彼人生目的就可实现，Sharanam Gacchami,
Sarvam Sharanam Gacchami,
Sangham Sharanam Gacchami,
Sangham Sharanam Gacchami,
Saikya Sharanam Gacchami,
Sakya
Saikya Sharanam Gacchami,
Sakya Saikya Sharanam Gacchami.
Namah Parvati Pataye Hara Hara
Bye. Amen. Jai Bolo.